Welcome to River of Life. And Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Our video said it's a new year, so today we want to thank you, God, for all things new. You sent us a new king with a new promise, giving us all a chance to become a new creation. You gave us a new heart, mind, and spirit, a new name, a new life, a new home. We thank you for new strength, new opportunities, new mercies. We will live by your new commandment to love one another. We will sing to you a new song because it's a new year, and all of this is good news. Happy New Year. Hallelujah. Happy New Year. When we think of the new year, we think about refreshing and renewing, and many people want to reset at the new year. So it's goodbye 2024. Not sad to see it go. Hallelujah. Did anyone kind of have a rough 2024? Yes. Experienced lots of things. We grew a lot. Our faith has increased. God has deepened our relationship with him. All of these things that happen are for our good. Amen? God uses them for our good, but it's hello 2025. And many prophets are saying it's a year to thrive. And our bishop is saying it's a year of transition and it's a year of advancement. And I posted his teaching on our Facebook page. I hope you had a chance to watch the CI New Year's service. It was so full of the presence of God. The worship was absolutely amazing. And just Bishop's word, I encourage you to stay in tune with what our mother church does. That's where our anointing flows from. It's where it comes from. It comes from the top. We're a CI church, Christian International, and we love Dr. Bill Hammond, 90 years old, and still sitting at the pulpit prophesying the word of the Lord for the next year. Hallelujah. So, once again, welcome to the River of Life. And I'm just going to share a little story before I get started, just a little funny story. One of the pastors in our group sent this in and said, last year, when I called my parents to wish them Happy New Year, my dad answered the phone, and I said, well, Dad, what's your New Year's resolution? And he said, to make your mother as happy as I can all year. And he answered very proudly. And so then his mom got on the phone, and he said, Mom, what's your New Year's resolution? And she said, to see that your dad keeps his New Year's resolution. Amen, yes. But this is an interesting, you know, New Year's resolutions. So before we get into this, I just wanted to share some stats, and then we're going to talk about new beginnings with the Lord. But Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for everyone gathered here. Open our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today. And thank you, God, for everyone that is here and everyone that will be listening to this, God. I thank you that your word is eternal. I thank you, Lord, that your word performs what it is sent out to do. And so, Father, minister to each person today. Open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see the unseen. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I just looked up a few stats on New Year's resolutions, and a New Year's resolution is something that goes in one year and out the other. In fact, here are some startling stats and in America. So 27% break their resolution by the first week of January. 31% lose their resolutions by the second week of January. 41% do not last more than 1 month with their resolutions. And 55% have stopped their resolutions after 6 months. And then they go on with some other stats that only like 5% of Americans, adults, participate in 30 minutes of physical activity each day. And only 1 in 3 adults receive recommended amount of physical activity each week. Anybody make a New Year's resolution to exercise? Thought about it? Me neither. for many people. The effort isn't put in, which is often resemblance of the effort that we put into our spiritual life and our spiritual exercises. And so, once again, here's some worship quotes to consider for the new year. Worship is the most powerful, joy-producing, hope-sustaining, life-altering thing a person can do. I need to worship because without it, I lose a sense of wonder and gratitude and go through life with blinders on. And Psalm 95:6-7 says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before our Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. There's nothing more powerful than prayer and praise. And when we birthed the ministry in the early 90s, it was a new concept that the two of them worked together. That praise and prayer was actually an active weapon of warfare that causes the enemy to scatter. And this was, you know, revelations are birthed into the church in different times and different seasons. And so the coming together of people who love to pray and people who love to praise is what God did in our ministry in the early 90s. And we had a group of intercessors that loved to get together and intercede, and a group of people that loved to praise and worship God and have that face-to-face encounter with the Lord that was seeking God's presence more than they were seeking anything else. That was the heart, the passion of who we are. And that's how the name came together of praisers. And that's who we are. And that's who God attracts to this ministry. People who really want to see the move of God and experience God's presence. And as Bishop was talking his word of the Lord, he was sharing about how we're in a time of transition. And the church is in a time of transitioning. I believe we're transitioning into that kingdom realm where we are going to see the signs, wonders, and miracles that Jesus said that we would perform. It is a moving forward. It's an advancement. It's a push, church. I was listening to Apostle Barbara Yoder, and she said, the church wants to be an Acts church, but they don't want to do the work to be an Acts church. The Acts church was praying together, meeting together, contending together for God's will to be accomplished in the earth. And so it's a time to really contend for the promises of God and to contend for all that God has for us as the body of Christ. There is a remnant that's crying out, church. A remnant that is crying out for God to move in America in ways that He has never moved before, because He has promised a revival in America, a supernatural move of the Spirit of God. We've seen that over the year in 2024. We saw that just begin to birth out on campuses and people coming into churches to worship God, just to spend time with Him. You know, that's what God wants. If you haven't been with God, then you don't have anything to give anybody for God. You know, you can know a lot of scripture, you can do a lot of things, but the main thing is to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That has been our heart and passion, that people know the voice of their Father, that they know how to get in His presence. They know how to hear from the Lord. Each one of us have ears to hear, and God wants us to hear His voice more than anything else and draw close to Him in this season. You know, this is a special time, 2025. A time to thrive. God is birthing new things into the earth. It was a French philosopher named Blaise Pascal who made the quote, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator. We've heard that for years. I was never sure who said that, so I looked it up to see who actually said that from the beginning, because a lot of ministers have taken credit for it, but it happened way back in the 1600s. Back in the 1600s, you study the literature from the 1500s and the 1600s and the 1700s. These people were totally sold out to the Word of God. It was before psychiatry came in, psychology came in. It was before all of these other ideologies came into the United States. They were desperately seeking God and using the Word of God, and they were seeing results. Come on, somebody say amen. God has the answers. I read another story that I thought was interesting. There was a king that fell into really, really deep depression. And nothing could cheer him up. You know, kings can have lavish parties and dancing and the court jesters and all the music. You know, kings listen to more music in the statistics say that the music we hear, the access to the music we hear, a king didn't even have access to that much music in his lifetime. You know, it's like we can get music anytime. It hasn't always been that way. But anyway, this king could have anything he wanted. And some guy showed up in the court and said he was a wise man. And he said, King, if you can obtain the shirt off the back of a truly happy man, you yourself will be happy. And so the king said, okay. He sent out his army. He sent them out. And he said, go to the ends of the earth and find the happiest man and bring me his shirt. And so weeks had passed and then months had passed. And finally, his soldiers returned. And this is what they said. O king, after many days and much searching, we found a truly happy man. But your majesty, the man was not wearing a shirt. Oh, hallelujah. So, you know, our ultimate prayer this year for all of the families and all those we're connected to is that you'll understand that your joy in life is not found in things or objects. Our joy is found in Jesus Christ. He said in John 16:33, in me you will have peace. And peace is something that everyone desires. Just give me some peace, Lord. And our peace only comes from God. We can't get it from the world. And so this is the beginning of the year. And usually at the beginning of the year, we start a 21-day Daniel fast. How many have heard that we're doing a fast? Elder Carol, have you sent out the sheet to everyone? They've gotten it in an email. Okay, so if you don't have that information, there is one standing out on the out in the lobby. There's one in a stand. You can take a picture of that. And if you want to give us your email address, Carol would be happy to make sure that you have one. But it just gives you an idea of what foods are eaten on a Daniel fast. And so we're going to talk a little bit this morning about fasting. And I heard a preacher, you know, it was one of those TikTok preachers, say the other day, there is no commandment in the Bible that says you have to fast. Well, you know, sometimes you hear things on TikTok or you hear short things in these short messages that these preachers are preaching, and it is true to a point, but not totally true. Because I don't see a commandment that says you have to fast. But I do see commandments that say we're supposed to model Jesus' life, right? And Jesus fasted, right? Okay, and then we're going to take a look in Matthew, because there are three things that Christians are to do. If you're a Christian, this will be evidence, right, Gabe? This is the evidence that you are. The first one is talking about in Matthew 6, 2 to 4, and I don't have the whole scripture up there. You can look that up later. But it says, when you give to the needy, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. You see, the hypocrites wanted everybody to know how much they gave and who they were helping out and what they were doing. The Lord says, no. when you give, you don't have to sound the trumpet that you're helping out someone poor. Just go ahead and give it and do it in secret. Then the next part of it in Matthew says, when you pray. And it says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. There are people that just want to pray and be noticed that they're praying. But that scripture goes on and it says, when you pray, get into your prayer closet, into that secret place. And when you pray in secret, God will reward you openly. Hallelujah. And then the next part of that in Matthew says, when you fast. Oh, well, that might be, doesn't sound maybe like a commandment, but it sounds like a really strong suggestion to me, right? When you fast. And I'm going to read through all of that. It says, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So in other words, you don't have to go to work, you know, over the next 3 weeks and say, well, I can't have that because I'm fasting. Don't bring donuts. I'm on a Daniel fast. You know, we don't need to tell everybody what we're doing. We just need to do it. Amen? But God expects us to fast because fasting is very, very beneficial. And this Daniel fast is very, very beneficial to your body. And so there's three things: giving, praying, and fasting. These three things are evidence that you are a Christian. These are duties that are expected of us as Christians: to give, to pray, and to fast. In Ecclesiastes 4:12, and I know most of you have heard this scripture many times, it's been applied many ways, but I'm going to apply it to these three things. It says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a three-fold cord is not quickly broken. This is like a three-fold cord in our Christianity. It will ground us. It will sustain us. It's something we can hold on to. And the Lord said, with each one of these things, he's going to reward you. He will reward you when these things are in place in your life. So what is fasting? Fasting is voluntarily abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. It's voluntary. And the scriptural purpose for fasting, from Psalm 35:13, it says, I humbled my soul with fasting. So there's a humbling process that takes place when you fast. There are many scriptures. I just put one up there because it just says it the way that it is. It humbles my soul. What is my soul? My mind, my will, and my emotions. And when I begin to give up food for spiritual reasons, I don't know about you, but my body really doesn't like it. When I say I'm not going to have that, I was thinking this morning, it's like this Daniel fast is nothing sweet. You know, and I was hoping you could at least have honey. That's natural, right? Seems like you could have honey. You know, and I was searching and nobody said you could. Just something a little sweet. Does anybody else like something just a little sweet? Yeah. No artificial sweeteners. And there's natural sweeteners, you know, like stevia and xylitol, all of that. You know, it's in Korea, that's all they use. That's why they're such skinny people. But nothing sweet. But anyway, there's a humbling that takes place, that you are giving that up because you want to be closer to God. You know, the quieter you can get your flesh, the more you're able to hear the Lord. And our flesh really talks to us. It's that sark's nature that's in us. And it's the nature we were never supposed to have. That's what was awakened in the Garden of Eden. We were never supposed to have this mess called the flesh that gives us a lot of trouble. Can anybody say amen? It was never intended to be a part of our life, but because of Adam and Eve, and isn't it interesting, they were eating the very thing that we're giving up is what they were doing when that was awakened, right? Don't eat from that tree. Okay. So giving up food for spiritual reasons. The wonderful thing about the Daniel fast is you don't have to give up all your food. Say hallelujah. And you know what? You don't even have to do the Daniel fast. We just invite you to do it. We invite you to do it. Why? Because as a church, this is how we get direction. This is how we get our New Year's resolutions. It's like Gabe said, you can make all those New Year's resolutions, but you're not going to keep them because you made them. You know, when you really get with the Lord and you begin to listen to Him, and what is it about you that He wants to change this year to make you a better person? So that you're more like Jesus. So that you live from the heart that Jesus gave you, rather than living out of your own heart's desires. That's going to be our focus this year. We want to be the people God has called us to be, and to live from the heart that Jesus gave us, and to be the best person that we can possibly be. So we can be our best self. You know, over this last year, there's many times I have not been my best self. You know, and the Holy Spirit is very faithful to remind me. Anybody else have a relationship like that with the Holy Spirit? It's like, oh, I was not my best self in that situation. But this is how we grow. And we're all in this together. Someone say amen. We're all growing together to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to just take a look at the scripture and where it talks about the Daniel fast. And just to give you a little background is Daniel and three of his companions, they were taken into the king's court because the king was looking for the most promising men to be trained for 3 years to be servants in his court. And so these were Hebrews that were taken in to this king's court. And this is where we're picking up, because this is the king's plan for these guys. So Daniel 1:5 says, "And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king." Daniel 1:8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Many of the delicacies was food that had been sacrificed to idols that were brought, and it was against the Hebrews' belief to eat any food that was sacrificed to idols. And so, and they didn't drink. And so he was not going to drink from the king's wine. Not that they never drank wine, but he wasn't going to drink from the king's wine. And so he didn't want to defile himself. To him, to the Hebrews, this was defilement. So reading on, "Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, 'I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king.'" So in other words, the eunuch was really concerned that if they start looking weakly, are looking different, and couldn't keep up with the other guys, that it would be his head. And Daniel said, "So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink.'" Reading on, "Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this manner and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portions of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none were found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus, Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. And so we see how what we eat really affects our body. You know, it can cause a lot of inflammation in our body, and it can cause some serious diseases if you continue eating things that you really shouldn't eat. And I'm not getting on anybody, but I do believe that God is pointing out to us in 2025 that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we are the ones that steward our body. I often think about this, you know, I often think, I wish my mom was alive because she would just cook me the diet that I needed to have, and I wouldn't really have to think about it that much myself. Mom would just take care of me. Have you ever thought that? Oh, Mom, you know, she always was there to help me out with whatever eating plan I wanted to come up with. But, you know, only you can do that. You have those choices to make. And I believe God's going to hold us accountable for those choices. Do you? Has he convicted you? I know there's lots of people he's been convicting over the years. But you know, this is the year to really step up and say, Lord, I want to take care of my temple. Why? Because you know what? I made up my mind about 10 years ago. I am not giving my life to food. I'm giving my life to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is a choice I have to make every day, because I like to eat. Hallelujah. We all do, right? We just do, you know. God made us that way. We just have to really encourage each other to eat healthier. Hallelujah. So anyway, that is what the Daniel fast is all about. It is about cleansing your body. If you go on YouTube, you can find cardiologists and doctors that like swear by this doctor, by this diet, and they put their patients on it when they come in, because it's good for your heart. It's good for your heart. You know, we eat so much processed food, and we just really don't know what's in it. And now they're putting more and more GMOs in it, and they're creating the food in the laboratory, and they're adding that to the processed food. And if you start reading labels, it's like, it gets a little scary when you see everything that they're giving to us. And they're giving foods to us and chemicals to us in our food that they won't even use in the European countries. And so, you know, there's something going on with the food supply. And we just need to be aware of that, because we want to be wise. Is that right? Daniel and his companions, they were smarter than everybody. They knew about a lot of things that other people didn't know about. You know, they knew how to read the heavens. They knew how to read the stars and the planets, even better than the astrologers of those times. And everybody read the planets and the stars, because God gave them to us as a marker in the sky. And they mark events. And there are different things that happen as the planets move that happen here on Earth that we don't pay any attention to anymore, because we think we're beyond all of that. But let's get back to what God created. He created everything for you. He created everything for you to fulfill your purpose. And he will move heaven and earth for you to accomplish what he has asked for you to do. In the Psalm, I think it's 139, it talks about being fashioned by God and made in your mother's womb. Have you ever read that passage? Absolutely amazing. When you read through that, and I think I have it in my notes. I wasn't going to talk about it today, but I just feel like I should. It says, For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth, which is in his mother's womb. Your eyes saw my substance before yet unformed, and in your book they were written the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. So there is a book written in heaven about you. That is Psalm 139:16. There is a book with all of your days written in that book. It is your book of destiny. The only way you are going to understand what's in that book is if you get with God and you know God and you can hear from the Spirit of the living God. Because God will reveal to you what is in your book and what your destinies are. I wrote a course on discovering your personal purpose. It's a workbook that you work through and you get before God and you pray and you seek him until he shares with you what your purpose is and what it is that you are to fulfill in this life. That has been my passion, to help people know why God created them, that you just don't live your life in vain, that you just don't waste your time here on earth, because God has a specific purpose for you to fulfill, and you will not feel fulfilled or have a passion until you find out what that is and you begin to function in what God has called you to do and the people God has called you to reach. You can just live aimlessly as you go through life, and that's not what God intended for us. He actually fashioned us in our mother's womb, and he actually wrote in the book before we were ever born. And when we were born, when we came alive, you know, God Almighty said he is the keeper of spirits, and he sends that spirit to the earth at the time it is to come. And when it is time for that spirit to go, God takes that spirit back to him, because God is God and he is totally in control of every part of our life if we will yield to him and take the time to spend with him and get before him and give up some things in this world so that we know who he is, so he can show us who he is. Hashakamashata. He wants to birth so much in us this year, Lord. He wants to birth so much in this church and in this people. He's been preparing us for years for this. And we've got to get serious in this season. This is a time of transition. Yeah, some things are going to happen. Some things will make you uncomfortable about who you are and who you've been. But that is because God loves us and he wants to birth forth his purpose in you to accomplish what he has made you to accomplish, because nobody can do it but you. Tell somebody, nobody can do it but you. No one can do it but you. No one can do it but you, because it was made for you. But you know, it's the honor of kings to be able to search out these mysteries. You know, that's the honor of a king. God can hold him from us for a period of time. But when we get desperate before God, when we begin to seek him, I'm telling you, he begins to talk to you. He begins to release that revelation understanding to you. You've got to write it down, though. You've got to keep it in a book. You've got to put it. I think it was Jen got me a journal this year that says on it, you were born into the kingdom for such a time as this. And I thought, boy, you know that's right. because God picked the day I was going to be born. He picked what stars would be in the sky, what planets would be circling. He picked that time because he knew that I was born for this time. Come on. He brings it all together. We think of God in such a small way of the salvation, my sins are forgiven. You've got to bring the planet into it. You've got to bring the universe into it. God will not withhold anything from us. He will bring a person, the scripture says, it's in my book, he'll bring them from afar to help you accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. We were totally designed by God. Our life, totally designed. Life by design. That's who we are. God has designed us in this season, in 2025. Yes, we're going to thrive because we're going to get into all that God has for us. And we're going to dig into the deep things of God. And we're not going to let go. We're not going to let go until the Lord answers us. And all of us have reached the potential that God has called us to reach. It doesn't take very many people to turn the world upside down. And church, we can do that. We can do that with the people that are assigned to River of Life, Praisers Ministries. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited about 2025. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. Can we go? Can we go? Can we go? I'm always like a racehorse ready to run ahead. And this morning I was like, Lord, there is so much to teach and so much to share. And I just need to do some short teachings and get them out to you because there is so much to learn. God has so much for each one of us. It is just amazing what God is doing here. In this place, in these families, in this group of people. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Hallelujah. He's called us to reach the nations. He's called us to disciple the nations. He's called us to be an active part of his army. And you know, I believe there's a lot of intercessors that are on this Daniel fast. Have you heard that? I think Dutch Sheets was talking about that this week. They're all on a Daniel fast, and he's got a huge organization. You know, this Daniel fast is a key. So I encourage you to get on board and just to begin to do it the best that you can. You know, I know it's difficult to give up meat. I'm thinking today I got to go home and freeze a bunch of meat that I've got in my refrigerator that I just want to eat. But I can't eat it all before I start the fast tomorrow. So it's all going to go in a freezer bag, and it'll be there in 21 days. You know, tell your neighbor, it's only 21 days. It's only 21 days, hallelujah, to give up sweets and to give up meat and to give up the delicacies that we all like, hallelujah. Why? Because we want to be closer to God. You know, I'm desperate for the Lord in this season. Lord, we are desperate for you. Change us, rearrange us, do what you need to do. Lord, whatever it takes. You know, I remember singing that song years ago. Whatever it takes, Lord, for my will to break, that's what I'm willing to do. Well, when your will starts to break, sometimes you just want to take back the tune that you were singing and say, Lord, I really didn't mean that. Well, I didn't mean that part. You know, but the Lord, he wants to do a deep work on the inside of us. I encourage you, church, just yield yourself to what God wants to do in this year. Grab a hold of the teachings. There are several things we'll be going through. We're getting ready to once again teach the Restoring the Foundations class. You know, we're born into this world and all kinds of things happen to us. And by the time we get to an adult, we've experienced all kinds of traumas and soul spirit hurts. And you know what? God needs to clean up what's on the inside of us so that we can hear him, so we can receive all that he has. He wants to restore foundations. He wants to break generational curses. He wants to break off demonic oppression from each one of us. It has no right in us, but it sometimes has legal rights And this is what restoring the foundations does. It breaks off the legal rights of the enemy, because he's a legalist and he will come in that door, you know, any way that he can. And so anyway, I encourage you. It's going to start in February, and there is a cost to that, but I encourage you to get involved. If you can't get involved in taking the class, then if you want Restoring the Foundation ministry, we have that. You know, for members of the River of Life Church that are contributing, it is free. You just got to ask for it, and we'll set you up with a team. We have teams that do that. Hallelujah. That have been doing it for years. And it is amazing the work that God does in people's lives. Testimony after testimony after testimony. And it is so important that we get our hearts right with God, get our lives in line so that the Lord can release his revelation, because we have work to do. And we got to get that clutter cleared out. Hallelujah. Anybody ever have any clutter? Yeah, restoring the foundations. Once you learn all those principles, you can use them over and over again in your life. How many use them all the time? Wave your hands. Yeah, we use them all the time, because they're there for us to use. They are our weapons. They are our weapons. And it keeps us sane. Hallelujah. Jesus said he give us a sound mind, right? And so we're going to have sound minds in this season to hear the voice of the Lord and to accomplish his will. And I love you all. I'm so excited. Thank you for coming out today. We enjoyed being with you today. And all of those that are listening online, get a hold of us if you're interested in anything that we've been talking about. Or if you have questions, you know how to reach me. I have an office phone. You can call me anytime. And you can reach me if you go on our website, www.godsriver.com. You can fill out a form. We'll come right to my email, and I'll get back with you. You know, we want to connect in this season, because you're not going to grow if you don't connect. God designed the body of Christ to grow and to mature by connecting in relationship. And I said last week, maturity is not a spiritual gift. Maturity is something that happens in the natural realm, that we emotionally mature and learn how to relate to one another. And so this is a safe place. And hey, next week, guys, Brother Dave will be here, and he'll meet with the men, him and Apostle Leonard and Elder Ron. There'll be a men's meeting, if he hasn't gotten a hold of you yet, next Sunday afternoon. So we're looking forward to Brother Dave coming in next week. And God has a lot of things in store for us, church.